Well, thank the Lord tonight for the friend. And he is a dear friend that is always there, never to fail us, never to forsake us, always at our disposal, there for us. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. I'm going to read just two verses, and these are tremendous, powerful verses, and you'll find that much of what John wrote in his books are very, very important to us. He describes to us the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, the deity of our Savior, how that He came and loved us, gave Himself for us. So John's Gospel is a very important Gospel as it gives to us who Jesus is. These are great verses, and I'm going to sort of key in on that word great tonight on some different things. Notice in verse number 11 of John chapter number 1, we'll read verse 11 and verse 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Tonight there have been many things that we classify as great accomplishments. In science, there have been many discoveries. In history, there have been great events. In society, there are many things that have taken place, reforms that have happened. And, of course, we know the medical advances that are taking place even as we are living. So many improvements have been made, and we can classify those many things as great. But I don't think that we can classify them in the same realm or the same greatness as what we find in these two verses tonight that we read. Let's read them again. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The next verse says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. We find in that last verse, verse 13, we are here because of the will of God. We find that God has placed every individual where they are, and as I have said and I've heard others say, we are certainly blessed tonight to have been born in the country that we were born in. And we have blessings abundant. We have so many things that we take for granted and do not even notice that many people would enjoy and would love to have just a portion of those wonderful things that we have. And that is a blessing that God has given to us. And we are born by the will of God. We are placed here by the will of the Lord. It didn't just happen. We're not just we're not an accident. We're not something that just came about. I read the other day where they're trying in one place, someplace trying to make it a law that if a person molests or kills a lady that is with child, there's going to be a double homicide if it's a murder, a double beating, or those type of things because of the child that she is carrying. That's very strange that would be before us, because most everywhere we think about is that baby that's being carried by that mother is not really a baby until it's born. And it just doesn't have any rights and doesn't have any legal rights at all. And if a woman wants to abort the child, she can, and it's legal to do that. But that doesn't make it right just because it's legal. Just because it's okay with the government doesn't mean it's okay with God. And we are all placed here for a purpose and for a reason. And we are here by the will of God. And these first two verses that we read tonight tells us some great events, some great things that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life of those around, and some things that happened. And I want us to look at them tonight in these few moments that we have. The first thing that we look at, we find this verse 11 says, He came unto His own. What a wonderful passage that is, that Jesus came unto His own. I just put out there, that was a great trip that He made. He came from heaven to this old world, to a place that did not desire, did not want Him, but He came unto His own. Now, we know that the own there is, physically speaking, He came to those that were of the Jewish nation. He was a Jew, and the Jews were God's chosen people from the time of Abraham on throughout history. They are still God's chosen people. And he came unto his own people, and he made that trip and to be come from the very bosom of the Father, and he came and was blasphemed upon this earth. He traveled from Galilee to Jordan, and he fulfilled all the prophecies about him. He fulfilled all the things that were spoken concerning him in the Old Testament, and he made that trip while he was here, and it was a wonderful trip and a great time. He traveled from Jordan to the wilderness, and there he overcame the temptation of the devil. There, as he was there 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came to him and tempted him on those occasions and tried to get him to fall. He traveled from city to city as he preached the gospel and preached the message and had his ministry and did all manner of good. And the message that was given and the miracles that were performed, all of it was for his own, because he came unto them first. We find that he went from Gethsemane to Golgotha. He did all that for his own. And so this first portion of this verse says he came unto his own. Thank God tonight he did come, and he came for those that might not only be physically the Jew, but could also be a child of the King, could be become a child of the Lord, and to be a spiritual individual because he came. Tonight, Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come to this world, but thank God he did. And he made that trip whereby we could one day go to heaven. And I've said so many times, he came to glory, came from glory that I might go to glory. And if he did not come from there to here, I couldn't go from here to there. Thank God tonight for what he did for us. And so we find he made a great trip into this world, and he came to suffer, to bleed, to die for those that might come to follow him. And all the miracles that we find and all the works that were done were did. He did those that he might prove to the world around him that he was the very Son of God, that he was God in the flesh, that he wasn't just some great prophet, as some tried to make him out to be, and some still try to do that. He wasn't some just good teacher, but he was the Lord Jesus. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And thank the Lord, he came unto his own. He came unto those that were born of the same blood that he was. And he came unto those that were of the Jewish nation that God had chosen to be that people that would come to a point in time that a Messiah would be born. And he was that Messiah. Thank God tonight he came. And I'm thankful tonight that all of us here that are saved, we can remember and we can, can testify to the time that he came to us. He didn't just come to his own. He didn't just come to the world. But thank God he came to me. And he came to you. And he came in a very personal way. And came in a very powerful way, that you might know that you needed salvation, that you was lost and undone without God and without hope in this world or the world that is to come. And without him we could do nothing. Without him we can accomplish nothing. And we realized that we had to fall on our face before God, that we would call upon him and he would be our Savior. That's why Jesus came. So he came unto his own. And when we get saved, we become his own. When we follow him, we are named in the family of God. We are placed in the household of faith. And he came that we might have life and have liberty abundantly in him. And all the things that he did, all the trips that he made from Jordan and to Jordan and around the Jordan River, and all the things that were accomplished and all the miracles that were done and the temptation that he went through and the sorrows that befell him, and as he preached the gospel and preached the message of the kingdom, and as he even went from Gethsemane there sweating great drops of blood and goes to Golgotha and sheds his blood for mankind, thank God he came. And that's a great trip. I'm glad he made that trip. I'm glad he did that for you and for me. But the next portion of this verse gives us something else that is very important. It says he came into his own, and then the next part says, and his own received him not. That's a tragic statement. He came to his own people, yet they rejected him. He came unto the Jew, and they said, we don't want you to rule over us. They hated him, and especially the hierarchy of the Sanhedrin, and And the religious crowd, they despised what he was doing. He offered to them and presented to them to be a threat. And so they despised him, and all the people around, many received him, but his own as a whole received him not. His own as a nation said, "No, we do not want you." And so we find there are many, many tragedies in this world, but I believe that's one of the greatest tragedies you could ever imagine, because he came to them, but yet they said no. Well, it's not much more tragic tonight than when we tell people about the gospel. When we send our missionaries around the world and they spread the gospel and they still reject and they say no. Well, that's a tragic thing. The death of loved ones is a terrible thing. And the death of those and the loss of health and the loss of life, those things are tragic, but it's nothing as bad as rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to His own. His own received Him not. He gave them every opportunity. He gave them Himself. He gave them His message. He showed them His miracles. He did all the things for them. But yet they said no unto Him. What a tragedy of life that is. What a terrible action of time and places that come before us. And to reject the Lord Jesus Christ is to lose our soul to eternity without God. Someone wrote a poem years ago, I think I still remember it. It says, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at noon or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed, to lose one's health the more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore." And so we find He came to His own, and they said no. He came to us sometimes, and we said no. He comes to people as we witness, as we preach, as we tell, as we give out tracts, as our missionaries preach the gospel. He goes and presents Himself to them, and many times they say no. That's tragic. Opportunity is there for life. Opportunity is there for eternity. Opportunity is there for everlasting life and for salvation and for the good grace of the Lord. And yet they say no. That's terrible. Someone says, "How can a person do that? Why would they do that?" Well, just look back at our own life and we can answer that, because sometimes there are issues in our life that we say, "Well, I'll straighten this out first," or "I'll take care of this and I'll fix this and I'll clean this up and I'll get better so God can He'll want me." No, God, He loves us. He loves us the way we are. He loves us where we are. He loves us the condition we're in. And it's a tragic thing, and it's a great tragedy when we say no to Him. And so we find that when He came into His own, and His own received Him not, that was a tragic loss to the entire nation of Israel. And the sad thing about it is they're still paying for that rejection. They're still rejecting, and they're still looking. I think one of the saddest things that you can watch or see on the television is those men and women that go to the wailing wall, and they're praying, and they put their little prayers in the holes there of the wall, and they're praying and they're in despair. They have no hope. They have no direction when they've rejected the hope and the direction. They've rejected the One that came. They rejected the One that presented Himself. They said no to Him, and now they're still desiring and still looking and still maintaining that God will send a Messiah. What a terrible thing it is, one day the wrong one will show up and they'll accept Him. The Scripture tells us that there's one that's coming, and one that'll present Himself as Messiah, and they'll receive Him and they'll accept Him, and it'll be to their own destruction. It'll be to their demise. When they could have had the Lord Jesus Christ and still can have. And the nation as Israel as a whole tonight is a lost nation. We think of it as a spiritual nation, and it has a great spiritual history. But it's not a saved nation. It's not a gospel nation. It's not a Christian nation. It's a Jewish nation that is still looking for a Messiah that has already come. And what a tragedy it is that they have overlooked and despised and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to them, and they received Him not. He offered Himself to them, and He opened His arms to them. Some accepted, some believed. Multitudes would follow, but we find as we read through the Gospels that many of the disciples of the Lord, many of those that were following Him, were just following Him because of what they could get. They were following Him because they would bring their loved ones and He would heal the sick. They would follow Him when He would was there teaching, and then they would get fed by Him. And they were following Him for the wrong reason. There were a few that came and a few that believed, but the nation as a whole said, "No, we don't want Him. We do not desire Him. We're not going to have Him. Even though He's made the trip here, we're not going to accept Him." And they die in their sins and they die lost. Yet He came unto them. He offered Himself unto them. Notice the next portion and the next part of this verse. It tells us in verse number 11, He came to His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He. To them gave He. What a transaction. All of us understand, we all know what a transaction is. It means a dealing that we have. It's an occurrence in our life. We make transactions. We buy, we sell, we barter, we take in, we give out, and we make transactions. Well, Jesus' transaction was that He gave Himself. He offered Himself to them. Governments make transactions with each other. We hear that all the time. Most of them we hear from our country we don't like anymore. I heard today some transaction or some company that got a big stimulus back a few years ago. Now they've sold it to some entrepreneur out of Russia. And all the secrets and all the things are there now belong to Russia. That's a transaction. Not a good one. It's not a healthy one, but it's a transaction. Well, Jesus gave Himself. Individuals buy and sell, trade, and people do things all the time. But when Jesus came, He offered His sinless life to an individual, to a people, to a place that they might have life eternal. He didn't come to the righteous. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to those that were good. He didn't come to those that were spiritually healthy. He came to those that were lost and undone. And we know from the Word of God that's everybody. I'm glad Jesus died for the world. I'm glad He gave Himself that the world could be saved. And the transaction took place in my life one night and in your life one day. There was a time when the Lord came and made you understand your need, and there was a transaction that took place that night. There was an encounter with God, and He made a difference. Just like we read tonight that one lady, I forget who it was, which place, Brother Mansfield. This lady had been going to different churches for many, many years and just could not find what she needed. But when the Lord came in, she said, "This is it. I'm thank God He is it. I'm glad tonight that He's the one that can cancel the sin debt. He's the one that can help us. He's the one that can make the transaction work and make it right. He's the one that can make it last because it's His and He is an eternal God." And there's to them gave He. He gave Himself there upon Calvary, that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Well, these are great things. These are great verses. These are great actions that took place. A great trip, a great tragedy. Now a great transaction. The Lord gave. He offered Himself. Is a gift, a free gift. Could not be bought, could not be purchased. There's not enough money anywhere in the world to purchase one moment of salvation. But thank God He gave and offered it to us free of charge. It's a free gift. Nothing better than a gift. You don't work for a gift. Sometimes you don't even expect a gift. The gift is just there, offered, and there it is laid out. And that's what Jesus did. He lay Himself out. He lay Himself down. The Bible says no man took His life from Him. He lay His life down, and there He gave. What a transaction. Signed, sealed, and one day delivered and given to us that we would live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are great verses. These are great things. This whole first chapter of John tells us many, many things. For in the very first of the words there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That makes the whole rest of the book very important. For we know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and in the beginning He was with God, He is God, and all things were made by Him, and so therefore He offered Himself, He gave Himself, that we might have life. That we would not have to die in our sins. We would not have to die and go to hell. Nobody has to die without God. Nobody has to die and go to hell because He gave Himself that we would have eternal life. Doesn't matter about all the discoveries of history and science and all the events of time. The greatest event was when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. When He was born, He lived His life perfect. He died one day as a sinner, taking our sin upon Himself, dying in our place. And what a great gift He gave to the world. He gave Himself. And this verse here says, as many as receive Him, to them gave He. He gave Himself. What a transaction. But now let's notice, what did He give? He says in verse number 12, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. For the gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. And so we find here that He gave here His great power. It's a transmission from Him to us. He gives it to us where we can do something. Now those cars and trucks out here on the parking lot, they're not worth very much. They may have a beautiful body. They may have shiny chrome. It may have all the luxuries on the inside at the push of the button, and it may have a great motor, but if it don't have a transmission, it's not going to do anything. We have all the things of life, but if the transmission of God's grace and power to us has not come, we don't move. We don't go. We don't do anything for the Lord. Christ is the power. He says, all power is given me in heaven and earth. And He tells the church to go therefore into all the world, preach the gospel under that power, under that moving power and that power of God. And Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 gives you another a version or another statement concerning the commission. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Here we find that we receive power. He gives it to us. He offers Himself as salvation. Then He gives us the power to become a child of God. We don't just decide to be a Christian. We don't just wake up one day and say, I think this would be a good day to change my life. This is a good time to turn over a new leaf. I believe I'll do better. That's not salvation. There's no transaction there. There's just decisions. But when the Lord comes and makes us understand what really means to be saved, and when we come to that point of salvation, we have the power of God given to us by the Holy Ghost, and now as a church, that power is given that we go into all the world, at home, abroad, and everywhere at the same time, because the Lord has given us the power thereby to go. He gives us power to witness. He gives us power to overcome temptation. He gives us power to overcome sin. He gives us wisdom and love and the power of God to show forth to a world around us that He is real and He is alive. What a great transmission He's given. What a great go power that He's done for us and given to us. He came into His own. He came and they rejected, but to anybody that receives. You see, He opens it up not just for the Jew now, but it's also to the Greek. It's not just to the Jew by nation or nationality. And they hated the Gentiles. They despised the Gentiles. But now He's opened the gospel. And really, it's always been opened. It just was not understood. He's opened the gospel now to whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And He has told us that He gives us the power to become the sons of God. That's a lot of power. That's important power. That's something that we can't do on ourselves. You can't get baptized enough to have the power of God. You can't walk the aisle enough to have the power of God. You can't pray enough to have the power of God. You have to have that given to you by the Holy Ghost of the Lord. And so tonight, He gives us all these things. And He tells us what He has done for us. And He gives us the understanding that it's all because of Him. I'm glad tonight that salvation is 100% of God and none of me. If there's anything I could do, I sure understand and know I'd mess it up. If there's any way possible, all you got to do is look around at some of the religions of our nation, you'll find man has sure messed up salvation. They've muddied it up and they've clouded the clear skies of it. They have made so many things that are wrong and sinful. Made so many things that are destructive to the soul. But you see, the devil, he desires that because if he can muddy up the waters and the understanding of salvation, then that individual will never believe and never be saved and the transaction will never be made. Oh, but thank God He gives us the power whereby we can become the Son of God, the child of God. We can become a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch, and the reason for that is because they acted like Christ. They did those things that the Lord had commanded them to do, and they followed the direction that God gave them. And these two verses tonight tells us the many great things concerning the salvation that we have. And it is a great salvation. The song says, "Oh, what a Savior is mine." Oh, thank God tonight, what a Savior. He's not just some little insignificant person. He's a Savior. He's a deliverer. He's the one that gets you out of the murk and the mire of sin. He's the one that takes you out of the depths of despair. He's the one that really takes you out of the off the road to hell and places our feet on the solid rock of the road to heaven. He came into His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And look at the last portion here. Even to them that believe on His name. To become the sons of God. And it's because they believe on His name. It's not because they have followed some rule that man has put. It's because they follow Him. It's because that they believe on His name. For whosoever believeth. Whosoever will believe and will trust. What a transformation we have. This is a great transformation. We are now what? The sons of God. We've been transformed from darkness. We've been transformed from despair. We've been transformed. We've been changed from a sinner. Now we are classified as a saint. And by the way, you don't have to have a vote of cardinals to become a saint. You're a saint when you get saved. Born again by the Spirit of God. You have sainthood put upon you when you say, "I believe." Paul says, if we believe, and we that do believe, we are children of God. We have the understanding of salvation. We have been changed from darkness to light. We have been changed from despair to hope. We have been changed from the helpless to that has been helped and has great hope in his life or her life. What a transformation. Transformed, to be changed. The word transformed just means changed. Paul says, all things pass away, behold, all things become new. There's a change, there's a transaction and a change that has taken place. What a salvation that we have. Not only, oh, what a Savior, but oh, what a salvation. What a blessing we have to be born again, to be called the sons of God. We're no longer sons of the wicked one. We're no longer children of the devil. We are sons of God. We are children of the Lord. That's a pretty good title. Every one of us in here tonight, we are children of God. We belong to Him. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Father. Jesus, our Savior. The Holy Spirit of God, our guide and our director. And so He's given us all these things, and what a change has been made. That lady we read about tonight, she said, "This is what I'm looking for." Oh, it's more than just a this. Thank God it's He. It's more than just a feeling. It's a person. It's more than just a thrill. And it is thrilling. It's more than just a great feeling in our heart and an emotion. But salvation is a transaction. Salvation is a transformation. Salvation is an encounter with an eternal mighty God that changes us from darkness to light, that changes us from children of the wicked to children of the Savior. Children of God. We call each other tonight brothers and sisters in Christ. We call each other that term. Paul uses that that terminology. We call us ourselves that because we are in the same family. God is our Father, Jesus our Savior, the Spirit of God our guide. We are in the same family. And every Christian, whether they be in Liverpool, England, or whether they be in Brazil, whether they be in Peru, whether they be in Uganda, Ethiopia, you name it, we're all in the same family if we've been saved. You know why? Because He has given to all of us to become the sons of God. Children of the King. Children of the Mighty One. We are not looked upon too good tonight. We are looked down upon by many, many people just because we're Christians. We see a lot of double standards now in our society. But that's all right. Because if we have read all the book, we know who has the last say. We know who's coming. And we know who's coming back with us, with Him. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And so they may laugh now. They may have their scorn now. They may have their way now. They may have their bright lights now. But just wait. The story's not ended. The story's not finished. There's another chapter. And we that have been born again, we have become the sons of God, and because of the transformation from one to another, from a child of the wicked to the child of God, we're going to stand and rule with Him all those days together. And then we're going to be ushered into eternity and we'll never, never, never end. It'll be a wonderful thing never to have to say goodbye, never to have to say it's over. We go to certain things in our life and we have a starting time, we have a finish time. We go to family reunions, we go to weddings, we go whatever you think about, there's a starting time, there's a finish time. When we get to heaven, we have a starting time. There's no finish time. Why? Because there's a transaction been made one day. He changed us, He transformed us from ungodly to righteous. Not that we're righteous in our own ways, but we are have been given His righteousness. And therefore, we have a life eternal that shall never end. Heaven will never grow old. It will never grow indifferent to us. It will always be new, always be fresh, and it will always be great. The number one reason is because the One that made these great things here tonight, He's the center of it. He's the light of heaven. He's what everything revolves around. It's good to talk about all the Old Testament saints and we'll want to look at them and talk to them. But I'll tell you what, number one attraction in heaven is this One that's made all the difference. The number one attraction in heaven is this One that came and to His own. He may have been rejected by His own, but He came. But thank God to all that receive Him, to all that believe, but as many as receive Him, to them He's given power. He's given the authority. He's given us power that we can be changed from ungodliness to righteousness by the power of God. What a great transaction. What a great thing we have in our salvation. So the next time we talk about or think about being saved, there's more to it than just a day. Oh, it's a day in our life. There's more to it than just an occurrence. But there's a lot involved in what God has done for you and I. And every bit of it is great. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful salvation, what a wonderful God we have that we can call upon Him. Just like tonight, we have our prayer requests, we have our prayer time. We can call upon Him. He's invited us to come. He doesn't shut the door of heaven. He doesn't shut the throne room. And He doesn't shut the prayer place. We are told by Him and commanded to come boldly unto His throne of grace, whereby we find rest for our souls. So thank God tonight for these great verses, all of them. The book is great. We just picked out two verses tonight and four or five things that are great in these things. But He came, He was rejected, but thank God for those that receive. And then the change that takes place. Not only has He changed us spiritually, but one day He's going to change us physically. We're no longer going to be this old body of clay and flesh. We're going to be changed just like He is, to be just like Him. May God help us and use us to spread the gospel, to spread it to every corner of this world that Jesus saves. He's already made it possible that whosoever will may come and take of the water of life, take of the bread of life. He is the door through which they enter. He is that one only. He's that one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, that will have life. Let's stand together tonight.